The other, just my glass. I think for me, when you come from Brisbane and then you come to an area like this, I think some of the challenges is the remoteness. Knowing that to bring some sort of specialist response to a community can take sometimes up to 10 hours to do that. So you have to have a lot of pre-planning in position. You rely on people like Inspector Russell Rhodes here to really to have their finger on the pulse, on the intelligence coming from the various communities, and try to be one step ahead of the game. Pre-positioning resources is one of the keys, so we can bring a reasonably timely response to some of these areas. I think the most important part is really developing partnerships with those communities. We go back to the proactive type of policing. I think going back to reactive, the alcohol and the actual management of alcohol is a challenge. And you can sort of make quick decisions there and say, well, we could do this or we could do that. But the biggest danger is sort of unintended consequences of changing things. And we really need to have to, with other government departments and the community, think things through if we're trying to change things to do with alcohol. But that is one of the biggest issues there for police, and especially with violent crime. But going back, there was the reactive side, and the police really find themselves in that arena. But I think for my focus will be on the proactive side, and continuing the work done by some of the police in the communities to develop that partnership with the respective communities. In my visits to the communities, I found that the various CEOs, the various councillors and mayors of the communities are in general very supportive of the police, and they understand some of the issues that confront us. But for me, really, we're trying to develop a safe and secure environment for all people in those communities. At my level, I'm relying on people like Inspector Russell Rhodes, Andrew Clarkson, and other good officers who are in charge of the various stations. But at my level, I rely at the regional management coordination network with other government departments. I try to identify any barriers there with other government departments where we can try to be to make things a bit more fluid, and we can work together rather than duplication or just ignoring each other and working in silos. If we can work together, it's very important. There's an RMCN, has a subcommittee, an Indigenous committee, which meets regularly here in Cairns, and there's a lot of useful work comes out of that committee. I think that's
okay
at the stage for it. Thanks.
Well, thanks for that. Look, there's a number of things that you addressed there that I think we want to explore further as the day goes on. There's quite a number of those issues. Can we then look then at the community side, the community perceptions of policing? If I can ask Mark then to address that aspect as to what they discovered during their consultations with communities as to their views about policing in their community.
Again, I'll be quite brief and give a broad overview. We think that the driving issue behind people's presence at our meetings and the comments that they made to us was the overarching desire for a safe community. I want to stress that really was the key theme that came out of the community consultation. The people who spoke with the inquiry team want less crime and less violence. Levels of crime recorded by police to the communities can be way above the state average. For some types of crime, levels might be influenced by police presence, priorities and tactics, but for other types of crime, arguably less so. Last year in 2006, for all offences against the person, that is all the violent offences, mainland communities range between double the state average up to 20 times the state average. The average for the Torres Strait as a whole was also well above the state average. So it's clear that the crime data shows us that these communities generally suffer from very high rates of crime. There have been theories put forward as to why this is so, including dispossession, disadvantage, over-policing, or more broadly, a justice system that works against Indigenous people. Whatever the causal or contributing factors, people across communities were recognising two main things. One, that police play an important part in achieving a safe community. In fact, the inquiry team was often given the impression that there may be an over-reliance on the police to do this. Two, there was a general recognition that good relationships with police are essential to effective policing. Across all the communities, there's a range of views about the relationship with police in their communities. In some of our community policing, in some of our community meetings, the relationship was described as quite good, while in others the relationship was described as pretty poor or even bad. However, those views weren't necessarily consistent, even within communities. Now, I'll just say we're only reporting people opinions. We don't have any reliable, objective measure of relations. What we heard repeatedly was people saying that they wanted police to be more responsive to their needs in a whole range of ways. We also heard repeatedly that people want the police to be part of their community. There's a general feeling that things could be improved, that the relationship between police and Indigenous community members could be improved, and that the whole approach of everyone, and not just the police, to tackling crime and order problems could be improved.